The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber, live from Post 9 at the New York Stock Exchange. Jim Cramer is at our office at One Market in San Francisco, and Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to begin trading 1.5 hour from now. Looks like we may get a continuation of yesterday's rally, and that is where our roadmap begins this morning. The S&P topped 5,200 after the Fed said three rate cuts still likely this year. And, of course, this morning we're still waiting for that Reddit IPO right here at the New York Stock Exchange. Chip stocks also bouncing this morning. Micron saying it is benefiting from AI chip demand. TD Cowen hiking its NVIDIA price target, also upgrades Broadcom. And Apple's regulatory headwinds. The DOJ looks ready to file. Looks like it's ready to file its long-anticipated antitrust suit against that tech giant, perhaps as soon as 11 a.m. this morning. Jim, let's start with the markets. Get your take here, of course, after that very significant post-Fed meeting, Fed press conference rally. What are your thoughts on the broader market here?
Well, I think what happened yesterday was once the Fed was clear that you're not fighting it because the Fed is fine. I didn't want to go into two cuts, three cuts. I think that that dialogue is a parlor game. I'm not there. Take Fed off the table. What immediately happens is we go back to earnings. If we go back to earnings, there are so many groups right now that are putting up some good numbers. And what we really ended up focusing on in the evening was Micron, which said things. I was going back and forth with Sanjay Mehrotra as the CEO, said things that, frankly, have never happened before, which is high bandwidth memory chips. Those are the ones that go with NVIDIA, are already on allocation. You can't get them for 2025. And that's why that stock's up the most. And that's why it's the umbrella that's going to give tech another good day.
So the long negative trend in NAND and DRAM prices is over?
Correct. Correct. A quarter earlier than I thought. Sanjay, who at times, this is a CEO, by the way, who's not given hyperbole, who many times I've goaded into trying to say good things, he wouldn't go there. This was a time where he just said, look, there's nothing I can do. We're with the high bandwidth. I wish we could make many more, and they make a lot more money for those. Again, those are AI. But yes, the other parts of NAND are doing better. There's getting to be a kind of across the board sense that there's demand for everything tech, whether it be PC, server, data center, of course, anything that is connected with NVIDIA. So these are all systems go when you hear something at Micron, building block of all tech, saying good things.
All right, you want to explain a bit more, though? You know, I think it's always good for when we can kind of connect everything into this ecosystem that we talk so often about, Jim, so often leads ultimately to NVIDIA chips. But when you're talking about high bandwidth and Micron's role in that, can you just give us a little bit more of an explainer as to how they're benefiting?
Sure. Well, when you have artificial intelligence, it requires a tremendous amount of power throughout your whole system, whether it be with Broadcom, which is soaring today, whether it be with Micron, whether it be with ARM. These are all companies that are affiliated in the network grouping with NVIDIA. So as you bring in the new chips, in this case it was Blackwell, everything has to be accelerated. Everything has to require more density. You just need better chips, faster chips. Now, Micron has a lot of what I would regard as being good stuff, just that goes into your PC. Yep. But this is the stuff that goes into the supercomputers that NVIDIA is creating. So these are all, look, NVIDIA is at the epicenter of this next generation of technology. And anyone who's connected with it, of which Micron is, of which Broadcom is, of which ARM is, Cadence, Synopsys, those are the companies that are soaring here. Because we know from what Jensen said and what Sanjay Mehrotra said last night that we just can't meet the demand. The demand is just too strong. So everyone is on allocation. And when he used the term allocation for 2025, I was thinking, David, this can't be. And then, sure enough, you check in with Sanjay. He says, no, it's never happened. They've never had this. They've never had allocation through 2025 for something this big. So right. That's why you can see a stock up 18.
Yeah.
Which and Nvidia, you can see Micron's going to be up more than it is right now. It's amazing.
And it follows on from yesterday. I mean, back to the broader market. Although yesterday it was not just big tech that was a beneficiary.
No, yesterday we had really good numbers. Retail ran until Chewy reported after, Chewy and of my Five Below, we'll have to talk about that. But yeah, it was just a jailbreak, David. You had a jailbreak. Everything moved. With the exception of some healthcare, everything.
Justified, though? I mean, again, all right, we didn't get, a reduction in the dot plot from 3 to 2. We got the still expectation of 3. Perhaps he was less hawkish during the press conference than some had anticipated the Fed chair would be. Is this move justified based on the prospect that we still do maybe start getting rate cuts starting in June?
If we do that, yes. But I want to be clear that the market, there are two markets. There's the markets that are really being driven by the demand of customers, okay? And that happens to be tech. And then there's markets delivered by animal spirits because the Fed was less hawkish than we thought. And that's everything else. And I think the everything else is just okay, David. I mean, I'm not going to come out and say that, you know what, I've been talking to a lot of retailers and things are far better than expected. I've been talking to Williams-Sonoma and things are better than expected. And then we've got the downer of Apple. Apple was getting some really good talk with NVIDIA, but Jonathan Kanner at the Justice Department is not raising numbers Apple. He is not taking his, he's not going hold to buy Apple today, David. He is slashing it to underperform.
Yeah. Let's talk about Apple then, because we can see the stock is going to be down a bit, at least when we open 24 minutes from now. There are any number of reports out there at this point that that in fact the DOJ is getting ready to bring a case against the company. In fact, I think they've sent a release. I've gotten a release sent to me by any number of people. They don't say what it is, Jim, but everybody assumes that it is going to be related to them finally kind of coming after them in terms of what they say is their stranglehold on the app world, so to speak, and the 30% take in the app store. These cases can go on for years, and there are any number of them already out there. We've obviously referenced the DOJ case against Alphabet many times. What are your expectations here?
Well, look, I think the main point is it's going to go on for years. Look, if it's the Apple Store, I remember when I started the Street.com, which is now owned by the 5-Hour Energy Drink guy. Very interesting piece by Amy Javers this morning about that fella. But what's most interesting is that your decisions are always, do I go to the App Store and let them have 30% or do I do it on my own? And I have always said to people, unless you're a huge brand, let them have 30%. Of what you make, because you may get nothing doing it on your own. So I've always regarded the regulators as not understanding the way small business and medium-sized business work, which is that without the App Store, you're dead. And forget the fact that they take a percentage. You won't have a lot of sales if you don't have the App Store. But the government has been after the App Store and hates how much money Apple makes.
They make a lot of it. And listen,
they make
we've pointed
out
any number
business.
Of times during earnings season, I always sit there, mouth ajar at just the numbers themselves. I point this out. The size and the power of these platforms is almost hard to comprehend sometimes, whether it is a Microsoft or an Apple or a Meta or an Amazon. The expenditures on capital for capital CapEx all the numbers are incredible, including the bottom line numbers. That said, it's not clear that they're violating any laws, but say again?
Right. It's trillions versus billions. That's the problem. I mean, I wanted to analogize to Costco. Thank God they're so big. Where if you want to sell into Costco, you have to take less, but in the end, you take less of a big volume. You want to sell into Apple, you take less, but less of a big volume. But David, when you look at the other numbers of all the other companies we talk about, I mean, it's like, should we talk about Norfolk Southern?
Sure.
Do we talk about Macy's?
No, well, I know
you
Macy's.
And I. Yes,
Macy's.
You and I.
I guess, maybe
Paramount?
Macy's a little. I'll talk about Paramount later. Yeah, maybe like seven people care at this point.
Don't say that.
I mean, these companies, you know, listen, I kid. I've talked to you how much time I've spent talking about this company.
My kids watch now. Don't say that.
But by the way, on that note, Paramount compared to Amazon or Apple and what they're doing, you know, I mean, that's the world that they're kind of competing in. Not to mention even Netflix, far smaller, but nonetheless so much bigger.
We're big, only the screen got small.
Don't feel bad. It's okay. It's all right. You've had a great week. Feel good.
It's not done.
You sat down with the man.
I have a special tonight.
The most
special
man in
8 o'clock.
In business right now.
Let me go have 10 5-hour energy drinks during this vacation here of commercial.
We've got a leaders tonight, 8 o'clock. It'll encompass all of that fascinating conversation that Jim had with Jensen Huang, including the concerns I know that Jim now shares with me about what this all means for society.
I do.
All right, when we come back, though, Jim, we've got Reddit because it is gearing up for that public debut today, and we are going to have the CEO of the social media company right here at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's give you another look at futures. We get started with trading 20 minutes from now. Got a big show ahead for you. Don't go anywhere.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Social media company Reddit getting ready to make its public debut right here at the New York Stock Exchange. Reddit CEO Steve Huffman and our own Julia Boorstin are with me here at Post 9, ahead, of course, of the opening bell. Julia, let me turn it over to you to begin the questions.
Thanks, David. And Steve, thanks so much for joining us here as we await the opening trade of Reddit shares. This has been a long time coming. Reddit is a 19-year-old company, and you're taking an unusual approach to the IPO itself, opening up 8% of retail allocations to your active moderators and also your active users. What kind of interest did you see from them? And are you concerned they're going to sell today because they have no lockup period?
Sure. So first, thank you for having me here. It's truly an honor to be here. It's been a journey. And to be surrounded by our employees, I'm overcome with gratitude and for our communities to make Reddit what it is. So in this IPO, yes, we invited a number of our users and have a healthy retail component beyond that. And our goal there was to bring in, I think as is the ethos of Reddit, level the playing field, bring people in on the same terms that professional investors would. And so it's a free market. I hope they believe in Reddit and support Reddit. But the goal is just to get them in the deal, just like any professional investor would.
Well, there has been a lot of chatter on Wall Street Bets, which is obviously a very popular Reddit forum that has not been so positive. You mentioned this as a potential risk factor in your S1. Are you concerned that having this very, very big presence with those retail investors, very high profile presence, is going to drive volatility in a bad way?
Well, first of all, look, I love Wall Street Bets. I'm a user. I've seen their comments over the last couple of weeks, so I just send them my regards. And again, that's Reddit. Reddit is people. Reddit is a fun and special, but sometimes crazy place. And so I wouldn't expect anything less from our community.
It doesn't upset you, though? You're like, wait a second, we're going public. You guys are a part of this. You've helped us in terms of our success. Why aren't you more supportive?
Look, that's exactly, I think, they've helped us get here. Reddit is nothing without our users and communities. And I think that's the beautiful thing about Reddit, is they tell it like it is. But God, you have to remember, they're doing that on Reddit. And it's a platform they love. it's their home on the internet. And look, I think it's such a privilege for I and the team to get to work on Reddit, but they really are Reddit.
Steve, one of the questions I think that's come up a lot is, company's been around, as Julia said, for roughly 19 years and has not managed to be profitable in any of those years. And so what will change or has changed if you haven't been able to figure out how to get to profitability over that period of time?
Well, so first, that's not exactly true. So we have been around 19 years. So I came back to the company, though, in 2015, and that's when we really started to build the business of Reddit. And that hit high gear in 2018, really, when Jen Wong joined as COO. And she's really been my partner in running Reddit and building this business. But we made a profit in the back half of 2023. We grew revenue 3 times as fast as cost last year. And so what's, I think, beyond the community of Reddit and the platform of Reddit, there's actually a very nice, special business here. And our gross margins are very high, the high 80s, and have been for a long time. And so even small improvements in revenue go straight to the bottom line for us. And so this is truly, I think, a special company. And profitability is, you know, it's an important milestone for us, and we're getting closer and closer.
I know Jim has a question as well for you. Jim?
First, Steve, thank you for being on the set. It's fantastic.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to see you.
Absolutely. One to know. You know, when you and I talk, it's just really important, I believe, that people who have been so important to your company, the Redditors, get stock if they want stock. Were the brokerage houses understanding of that? Is it placed with people you think that actually have done so much and might actually want to hold on? Because it could be a great stock.
You know, it honestly was not a controversial ask at all of our bankers and of the investors. What we've been pitching, and we've been pitching Reddit for 2 years, telling them why we do this, why it's special. And we've met so many investors who get Reddit, who understand Reddit, and know that this is, including our users in a moment like this, is the most natural thing we could do.
And we'll make it clear, it's not just Wall Street bets that want stock, right? I mean, those people might be sellers, who knows? You're talking about hardcore people who have really helped build your brand away from stocks. I imagine that they want to be long-term holders.
I hope so. I think the best investors of Reddit are people who use Reddit. And so I want our investors to be users, and I'd love our users to be investors. I think, look, we're all building this together. We're building the platform, and now we get to build the company too. I think it's just such a privilege.
So speaking of building the company, your business is currently 95% advertising revenue. And with for those ad dollars, you're competing against the giants. We're talking about Meta, we're talking about Google. It's an incredibly competitive space, and you're very small compared to these other players in terms of the number of daily active users you have. What is your strategy to be able to grow market share in such a tight environment?
Sure. So I have two answers to that. First is the digital ads market is so huge. It grows by 5 to 10 Reddits per year on its own. And then what's special about Reddit is whatever you're into, whatever you're going through, whether you're getting into college, getting your first job, relationships, ups and downs, whatever health malady you have, and everybody's got one, it's all on Reddit. And so Reddit is all about context and interests. And so literally every brand's customers are on Reddit somewhere. And so I think it's actually a very good fit. And for us, I think there's really no constraint on how big the ads business can be because of that breadth.
But you haven't been able to monetize that effectively yet. I mean, you know, I'm looking at a Bernstein piece, monetization well behind peers despite starting to sell ads in 2006. You had $804 million in revenues in 2023. It's not exactly a huge number.
Well, look, we had $12 million in revenue in 2015. So, look, we're getting there. And I like the way our business is scaling. I think our advertisers are rooting for us because Reddit is it's not about personal and private information. It's about connecting with your customers around shared interests. And so we're seeing, I think, a lot of momentum in the market. So, look, we got to start somewhere, but I think we're on the right path.
Momentum in the market, but your 20% growth last year was still slower than other companies at your sort of age in terms of monetization. But this raises a question about your new revenue streams. And you've talked about how your emerging revenue stream is licensing your data to train AI models, and you made a deal with Google. But then the FTC started an inquiry saying maybe maybe you hadn't secured the legal right to do that with your community. What do you have to say about that FTC inquiry and how much of a threat it could pose to this new revenue stream?
So that's not what the FTC said at all. In fact, they didn't say anything other than we'd like to know more. So, you know, I think it's a new, exciting space. Data licensing is hardly new. We're not doing exclusive deals, and in fact, in any contract we do, we include protective provisions for our data and our users' privacy. Because it's very important to us to be considerate about where our data goes, what it's used for, in preventing people from using it to, for example, reverse engineer the identity of our users. And so that's the sort of thing we're doing in the market. Because the status quo before this moment is everybody is crawling everybody using the data for who knows what. So right now, I think locking that down, making it safe and predictable, that's been our goal.
And so you're confident that this data licensing for AI training will become a meaningful revenue stream, and over what time period?
So I think what we know for sure is that the value of Reddit's data is increasing. You know, historically, we've looked at Reddit as our core business. And look, this is still our core business, community and conversation. But the value of our data is growing. In a world where more and more content on the internet is created by artificial intelligence, the premium on actual intelligence, which is what Reddit is, continues to grow. And so, look, it's a new business for us. We just started doing this like this year in 2024. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, I like the shape of it so far.
I learned a new term, NSFW, which means not safe for work. I have to admit, I wasn't aware of that. But
of course,
apparently a good amount of the platform, or some of it, includes content that is not safe for work. And there's a question, can that be monetized? Because if you can, that might be a positive thing. But these are things that advertisers may not want to be associated with. How do you view that?
It's kind of beside the point whether it can be monetized, because our answer is no. We don't monetize it. We have no plans to monetize it. And honestly, that just keeps things simpler for our advertiser customers. We just say, there's no ads there. There won't ever be ads there. And I think that content is important. Like, sex and sexuality is an important part of the human experience. Therefore, you can find it on Reddit. But not all of Reddit needs to be monetized. And our users who look at that sort of content, they also look at the entire rest of Reddit. And the commitment we make to advertisers is, you know, you will be where you want to be. Right? We're in the happy customers business. And so there's a portion of Reddit, the vast majority, that I think is great for advertisers. And that's where we do our business.
And finally, net proceeds. I can come in $450 or $500 million to the company to use. What are you going to do with the money?
Look. Grow the business, number one. You know, maybe there's M&A opportunities here and there, but I'd say first priority is grow Reddit, continue to just make this company bigger, better, healthier.
Well, we'll watch today, the debut coming up, and we certainly appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks for being here.
Julia, thank you as well. Coming up, we're going to have Jim's Mad Dash. We'll count you down to the opening bell as well. More Squawk on the Street straight now.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Welcome back. We're going to get to a mad dash and we'll have an opening bell. Expect loud cheering very soon here, of course, as Reddit gets ready to have its debut. Jim, Five Below is what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good quarter, but David, the shrink was incredibly bad. They just had so much theft that it really crushed their quarter. And by the way, on the conference call, the analysts just were after these guys saying, how did this happen? And one of the reasons why it happened, David, is something that you and I, we've talked about before, that I think is a big mistake for all retailers, including CVS, self-checkout. because they had a huge problem with self-checkout because you also are supposed to pay when you do self-checkout. A lot of people seem to not want to pay. And it was a remarkable conference call because Five Below is a very good company, but Philadelphia-based. But the amount of stealing just wrecked the quarter. And they didn't seem to be able to make it better.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I put it out there.
To your point, that self-checkout, it seems to be self-defeating in a way.
Yes.
You can pay for a few things, but not all of them. Or I forgot, I didn't do that one. Put it all in my bag, and who's going to stop you, right?
Right. Well, so they're putting more associates there to try to stop this, but they admit that it hasn't worked yet. The shrink jump was actually such that I want to double my efforts about seeing who's having problems with self-checkout and stealing. I thought that when Brian Cornell at Target talked about that we've seen a high water market in shrink, I did not think we'd see a company that would have bad numbers versus last year. But unfortunately, Five Below did, and it's a very well-run company. It's a good growth story. So it takes more looking into. I think people have to rethink this self-checkout. I think it turned out to be something that is not good for retail. And retailers were so anxious to get rid of people. Bring the people back.
It may be worth it when it comes to the bottom line. All right, Jim, in the brief time we have before things get very loud here, you seemed kind of positive just judging from your questions on Reddit, are you?
Well, I just think it's placed well, yes. I mean, I think that there's people who love Reddit, and they're the kind of silent majority, to use an unfortunate Nixon term. And then there's the kind of rabble-rousing people who really genuinely feel that Reddit should be more of a Greyhound bus, like a kind of a common carrier of stories, and it shouldn't necessarily be making so much money. I think that the people who own it and have owned it for a long time want the stock and want to own it and not trade it. If those people got a lot of stock, then the stock goes higher.
There it is, the opening bell this morning. Of course, doing the honors is Reddit, celebrating that initial public offering today. Over at the NASDAQ, Graphjet Technology, producer of Graphite, celebrating its listing. That's via SPAC. I'm going to be talking about SPACs in a minute. By the way, they priced at 34. Company could raise as much as $748 million at the top end of that range, which is 34, roughly 22 million shares. Of course, it's the first social media IPO since 2019. The company was selling 15.3 million shares, other selling stockholders, Jim, to your point, 6.7 million. Long time, some people have been waiting for liquidity at Reddit, given how long it's been a private company.
How about that Condé Nast home run?
Yeah.
That was nice. Nice investment. It's good to see someone from the print world actually have the foresight, even though it took a long time to get the payoff. But I always think that it's such a shame. Like I saw yesterday, McClatchy and breaking up with Associated Press, and looking at these institutions and saying, David, what the heck happened? We had a really powerful press in this country. I don't think people realize at home how fractionated, how unimportant so much of what print is. And so seeing that someone from print got in on this and made money, hallelujah.
Yeah, it has been a difficult road, to say the least, for so many, particularly not the national, but the more local brand of journalism. So,
David, did you see the piece by Moffitt Nathanson yesterday, by Mike Nathanson, about the linear TV numbers? How much they're even worse than we thought?
You know, I usually do, but I'm not sure I actually laid my eyes on that one.
Then don't, because you want to slit your wrists. I mean, he's talking about just linear being, he said linear is now, it's at its radio moment. The radio moment.
Radio moment.
The radio moment.
Well,
that's not like an iPhone
around.
Moment.
Yeah.
Radio. Yeah, well, radio moment.
Think of the positives. I mean, we can say anything we want. Nobody's watching. I'm kidding. They're still out there.
Do you know, I made a joke today about how the Justice Department is going to go after NVIDIA because they're so powerful. And some people actually believed me. One of the problems that I'm finding, David, is that there's no sense of humor about anything involving NVIDIA. If you just NVIDIA, you're like, it's a national treasure. The government is not going after NVIDIA. The government is going after Apple. And, David, we do have to focus on this because I think that in the end, you're seeing this pattern of who this government goes after. And it happens to be the big companies that a lot of Americans know and like.
Yes,
and
they
what do you think
but there's
about
also
that?
A belief that they have enormous power, even though it, by the way, may be very difficult for the government to prove that in court, at least as such, that it violates any of the antitrust and other laws that are on the books. in terms of trying to curb that power. That said, it is not as though Meta and Amazon and Alphabet and Apple and Microsoft are not incredibly powerful companies with reaches into so many different areas of our lives. They are.
But the FTC has hated Amazon. Okay, Leonard hated Amazon. I had Adam Slipsky on last night, Amazon Web Services. Every year they lower prices for Amazon Web Services.
Right. What,
is that good or bad? Are people saying they lower prices in order to be able to get everybody else out of the business, or do they lower prices in order to make it so that you and I, as Prime members, do better? I believe it's the latter.
And it conceivably is going to be a very strong argument that they're able to make in terms of withstanding any of the antitrust litigation that's brought against them. Because some of it is simply based on what is it, whether it is good or not for consumers. I mean, they are going to be making somewhat different arguments, aren't they, though, as well? And that's been part of the problem overall in terms of the FTC's record thus far and some of the high-profile cases going down roads that the courts are not willing to follow.
Right. I mean, if you're Tim Cook, who's in China right now, if you're Eddie Cube, any of the great people at Apple, where you've bought this product that everybody has and everybody loves, and all you ever hear about is from justice that, listen, we got to sue you because you're so powerful. I mean, they're powerful because everybody loves them. You can go get a Samsung phone. For heaven's sake, they got AI. You can go buy, you can go into the Samsung app. They have App Store. What do they got? They got like a, what do they got there?
I don't know. I'm an Apple guy like you, but. That said, listen, eventually you could see some sort of legislation come out of Congress, right? That conceivably could
be deleterious to their business. Well, it's something
they can all agree
on. They can all agree on. Let them go focus on the TikTok thing. Let them do the TikTok.
TikTok, we'll see. By the way, we're watching the Senate when it comes to TikTok. We'll see if and when they come out with that bill or what happens there. I guess it's less certain that they are going to pass the ban, but certainly still quite possible that it will, and then be signed by President Biden. And then, of course, it'll probably all end up in the courts the same way that Apple's litigation is going to and so many other things do.
Well, I mean, to bring it back to stocks, Broadcom's up big today, in part because they got ByteDance as a potential customer. They didn't reveal who it is. They already have Google. They have Meta. But apparently ByteDance is bringing the stock up 46 points. I think that Joe Kernan today said younger people vote and therefore the Congress will not go against TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there is a question as to that. And any number of people who earn their living on TikTok, the many influencers we talk about, the brands that are dependent on it to a certain extent. That's why I think it's a fascinating story. Again, I think if in fact there is a ban, I think it's unlikely the Chinese are going to allow the technology transfer that really would have to take place for significant value to be ascribed to TikTok's non-China businesses. Because, by the way, when Mnuchin's out there raising a group, he's talking not just about U.S., but all of the businesses outside of China, trying to bring them together and buy them. Without the source code, I don't know what you do. It's very much unclear if you don't get access to that source code that you really have a business. Jim, you mentioned NVIDIA. It's up, although backed off already in the last couple of minutes from where it opened. But nonetheless, I saw $2.3 trillion briefly on there. Maybe a new
There was an IPO yesterday for Astera Labs.
Yes.
Semiconductor connectivity, AI. I went to their website, just looked at theirs. And, yeah, that was the beginning, David, of what you and I don't want to see, which is just an IPO that, you know, right from the get-go starts out and $10 billion market cap. I mean, wait a second. I mean, when you go and look at their numbers, they're almost non-existent, for heaven's sake. But it doesn't matter. And people get excited. We don't want this. I mean, Intel backed. Okay, great. Please, let people understand. We don't want 2000. We don't want 1999. Buy companies that are doing well. This company is because it has AI. You know, David, we're going to get it. Like, I have AI. You have AI. Let's go buy me.
It's following through today. It's following through today.
I know. I was hoping that it would
lift off after its IPO yesterday. Yeah.
I was hoping that it wouldn't, because when I went to the website, I said, "Okay, look, they've got all the buzzwords. They have everything that you need to be able to say, hey, I'm an AI." It's like we watch every morning SoundHound. It's like, oh, they're AI. I mean, because NVIDIA gave them a nod. We don't want to be in the world where you can say you have AI and then your stock goes higher.
Are we in that world or not? because I feel we're like we were. Every company felt obligated to mention AI in their conference calls. Then things seemed to die down. Now we seem very much focused on a handful of companies that are the true beneficiaries right now, before this thing really gets into the enterprise in terms of all sorts of applications that haven't yet been invented, frankly.
Right. Well, that's why Micron is here now. They are on allocation for their high bandwidth memory chips that go into this. That's a real AI play. Okay, that does make sense. Cadence, Synopsys, they are real AI plays. They make sense. I don't want everybody to come public who's ever done anything AI and then claim that they're the next NVIDIA, because everybody wants the next NVIDIA and there isn't. There's just NVIDIA.
NVIDIA is the next NVIDIA. I think we've said that a number of times, haven't we?
No, I mean, you know, Apple's being, I stepped into the Omniverse streaming into the Vision Pro yesterday and saw some remarkable things, including a car that when I got out, it was actually a chair, but I still lifted my leg like I was in a car. It was incredible. If Apple adopts what NVIDIA is saying they should do, it can be big business to business for Apple. But right now, I have to explain to people, it's still in its infancy, and many companies haven't yet figured out how to use what NVIDIA is doing, except for then you get companies like Amazon that have figured it out, Meta's figured it out, Alphabet's figured it out, and of course, Microsoft's figured it out. There you go. That's me looking at a Nissan car and selecting colors for it, and then later on getting in the bucket seats, thinking I was in it when I was really just in a chair in a room.
Interesting. Yeah, look at that.
There's one picture where I'm trying to get under the hood. I'm trying to actually open it. And then I go under the hood. And I'm looking at the engine. The engine looks fantastic. But
really?
Does Apple even know what Jensen's got going? I'm not even sure how Apple even understands. Of course, they know. But how big this could be.
Yeah.
Big!
Waiting for some news here, Jim. I just got it on the Disney proxy fight.
The CEOs who endorsed Nelson? Did you get that?
No, I got ISS. No. And ISS is an important proxy advisory firm. And they are advising to vote for Peltz on Triumph's proxy card. Not Jay Rizzullo, but they do go for Peltz.
ISS.
ISS.
ISS for Peltz.
Well, one board seat there is what they are recommending. That's not insignificant, by the way. That's certainly a positive sign for Nelson Peltz and Trian's efforts to be seated on the board. Les Lewis was in favor of Disney. ISS says go Peltz, not Rizzullo, so one seat.
Okay.
And, you know, again, it will come back to many of these large institutions and how they choose to vote, how influential is ISIS. I haven't seen the actual report itself in which they explain their thinking, but there it is, Jim. So certainly as we track this closer and closer to the April 3rd date for the actual vote, that's another significant data point.
David, are you surprised at how ugly it's gotten, or do you think that's just what happens?
No, that's what happens. I mean, you're in a contest.
It's so personal.
You're
going
to fight.
It's so visceral.
But it is personal. It is visceral. And, you know, I think as well, something that I've kind of hit on, Bob Iger takes it personally, too. There he is. And, you know, I do have a question as to whether, in fact, Peltz gets on that board, how long Iger will stay at the company. There is a view, rightly or wrongly, that Peltz is operating for Ike Perlmutter, and Ike Perlmutter is out for Bob Iger. Again, I say rightly or wrongly, that is a view. And so I think, you know, we'll watch this closely because it may impact at least Mr. Iger's tenure as well.
Were you surprised that board, you know, Safra Katz, Parker from Nike, Cal McDonald, and James Gorman, heavyweights, right? Total heavyweights.
Yeah.
Would they together do better with Peltz, because the board has not done the shareholders a great service in terms of succession, one of the most important things they do. Wouldn't they do better? I don't know. I kind of feel like at this point they've spent a lot of time and energy. They should just had them on, move on. I mean, this is so disruptive.
It has been very disruptive. It is coming to an end. And to your point, you have that view. That view is not shared at all by the board and top management at Disney.
Great story, a great business story, because these are some of the greatest business people in the world. And it's an iconic company. And Bob Iger did really well for a long time. And you would think, OK, listen, let's get all the great minds. I know Peltz, but it's the opposite. It's like, hey, Nelson, please let it alone.
Listen, there's still great confidence in the Disney camp that they are. Oh, I've got the report in front of me that they are going to prevail here. But again, ISS's decision, at least, is not an insignificant one. It depends. It's not definitive in any way that just because they say, oh, we think Peltz should be on the board, that he, in fact, will be voted on the board. Do I have time to get to these couple of Faber reports? Can I do them now? Yeah, let's
please,
do them.
Please, please do.
Jim, I'm going to start with one you may not expect. And, we watched Reddit go public. Next week, we're going to have a de-SPAC of a company that is starting to once again get a bit of attention, and that is Digital World Acquisition Corp., DWAC.
DWAC?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're on that. I'm not home.
I have been on it for some time. I've been talking about it. I talked about it last week, I think, briefly as well, in part because of the overall conversation around former President Trump's legal bills and his need to post a bond of somewhat $454 million here in New York. And the access that he potentially has to what would be billions of dollars of shares if current prices hold in DWAC. Why do we mention it now? Because tomorrow they're having their vote. And they're going to vote in favor, obviously, of the deal to merge with Trump Media and Technology Group. And that's the math. I'll come back to it in a minute. You can see Digital World has had a very nice run of late, and let's call it 44 or so. You want to do the math, I can take you through it, because Mr. Trump will, TMTG, essentially, Mr. Trump will have 87.5 million shares right away, and another 40 million on a so-called earnout. The earnout looks pretty money good right now. It basically says if in any 20-day period following the de-SPAC, which will happen next week, by the way, that's when we're expecting it, any 20-day period, the stock stays above $17.50. There are actually various numbers along the way here, but $12.50, $15, $17.50. He gets another 40 million shares. So you can do the math. That's 127.5 million shares. Multiply that by 45, you get about 5.7 billion, maybe even more. I haven't done the math in this very moment. Dollars worth of stock. The overall value of the company, I've got it 169 million total shares out. You got 30 million shares for DWAC. You've got 12 million from the other bucket. That's 24 million, but half of those are warrants, roughly. And by the way, I'm not including any number of converts and warrants, which will take the share count up. So let's assume 169 million shares. Over $7.8 billion market value. Company right now, $3 million in revenue from Truth Social. That's the main entity that it will be operating under the TMTG banner. And you can see there's been a great amount of enthusiasm among certain shareholders. By the way, you can't even short it at this point. The borrow is simply through the roof in terms of how expensive it is. But I have also heard, as you might expect, and have not been able to confirm, that at least there have been some conversations around, is there a way for Donald Trump to use some of this enormous stake as collateral for a loan that would then be posted to meet this bond requirement? He has a lockup. It's 6 months. It's not clear, though, whether that would have to remain in place fully for that six-month period. There may be some ways to work around that, Jim, but I did want to bring that up. I've been talking about it a little bit and looking at it for quite some time, but it's certainly worthy of some note, given this is going to be an almost $8 billion market value, of which he will control some $5.7 billion. When you include the earnout shares, the 40 million earnout shares, which I'm assuming the stock doesn't collapse after it goes public, but we'll see. We'll see.
I'm stunned. I think you're right. He will have a borrow against it. Some bank probably would lend him money based on the shares. But the company, David, if you valued it on earnings, sales, anything, it's not worth anywhere near what we're talking about.
No, it's $3 million in revenues. $3 million.
No, but you get $5 billion out of a company that's doing $3 million rev?
That's the numbers as they currently stand.
I think you just leave the facts speak. This is a ipsere loquitur. Let the facts speak for themselves. I mean, I don't know what to say about that, David. It's fantasmagorical.
We'll watch it, the vote tomorrow, but more importantly, the de-SPAC. Let's, Jim, we got some existing home sales, LEI, due out at the top of the hour. First, though, it's manufacturing and services, PMI, from S&P Global. So let's get to Rick for that.
Yes, these are March preliminary, David, so in a couple of weeks we'll get the final reads. But it's very interesting. If you look at manufacturing, we're expecting 51.8 to 51.9. 52.5. This is the best month-over-month change, the most above 50 since June of 22. June of 22, manufacturing might be on the way back. Now, services, expected to be at 52.0, comes in at 51.7. 51.7. That's the weakest number since diesel last year. Now, granted, that isn't that long ago, but it really does underscore that what was highlighted as the best portion of the economy seems to be slowing a bit. And, of course, this has ramifications for the Fed, because if services slow, maybe some of the price structure, of course, will be altered with respect to the rate of change of inflation. And finally, the composite number at 52.2 is right in line with the last several months. We had 52.0 in January, final read of 52.5 in February. So, of course, we'll continue to monitor. Interest rates have moved up rather dramatically, and most of that, of course, was claims very well behaved in some of the early morning data that was economy-friendly, of course, which means economy-friendly has Fed implications, pushing rates up. Because, of course, if the economy is a bit strong, maybe that means that inflation isn't going to necessarily be under control. David Faber, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Rick Santelli, as we take a look at a broader market that's up another 0.5%. This after, of course, that significant move higher yesterday, the latter half of the day, certainly following comments, the meeting, and then comments from Chair Powell during his press conference. Jim, I did want to come back to a story that broke in the last few minutes that we've already hit, which is the Disney proxy fight. Of course, we've spent a lot of time on it and will continue to, given the high-profile nature of it and the battle, so to speak, that's underway and continues. Here's the quote from ISS, Institutional Shareholder Services, an influential proxy advisory firm that essentially tells large shareholders how they think they should vote. In the past, certainly the index funds, which control so many shares, have often taken these kinds of proxy advisory firms and used them to make their own decision. That's changed a bit. A lot of them have become more active in making their decisions along the lines of a BlackRock, for example. Nonetheless, here's what they say. Peltz is a significant shareholder, could be additive to the succession process. That's something you mentioned. Providing assurance to other investors the board is properly engaged this time around. He could also evaluate future capital allocation decisions. Moreover, multi-year concerns surrounding the role as compensation committee member strengthened that the case that Peltz's addition on balance would appear a net positive. So there that is, Jim, again, just to give you some language from ISS in terms of its decision.
Well, I think that we forget what a board is supposed to do. And a board is supposed to offer guidance at the highest level, and the board is supposed to have a succession plan. And I think that this board uniquely has not been able to do that. And therefore, what you get is someone like Nelson who comes in and says, listen, the board is not helping the CEO and not helping the succession. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The critics of it, obviously Disney, chief amongst them, have argued that there was no real plan there, that he didn't come up with any specific things other than simply saying that board oversight has been lacking, as we pointed out. And that's the reason he should be elected. Jim, you mentioned Paramount. I guess I'll just hit it briefly here as well, given we're on the subject of these companies. Obviously, Disney so much larger than Paramount. Right. But there was a report yesterday in the Journal that Apollo, the large alternative asset manager that still does some private equity occasionally, is looking to buy the studio for some $11 billion. I would point out, by the way, it's 10% higher than Sumner Redstone paid for Paramount Studio 30 years ago. So, you know, 10% gain over 30 years. But it's not going to happen, is sort of what I'm hearing. There's no plan in place at this point to sell the studio. It's simply too tied into everything else that Paramount's trying to do. And so while it may have been linked to the Journal, it may be of interest, it certainly sets a price, Jim. It's not something that seems actionable based on my reporting at this point. I continue to hear that they're trying to move down the road with that David Ellison Redbird plan to try to acquire National Amusements paying a premium to Sherry Redstone for the control stake, then merging Skydance Ellison Studio into the Paramount Studio, and then potentially issuing equity as well, potentially dilutive, to sort of give them the base they need to really grow the company. Unclear whether that deal makes it or not, but this one doesn't appear to have much life to it.
Well, but David, one thing that people recognize that people still watch is live sports. If you get Paramount Global, do you get the live sports that they have? Because that's actually worth more than any of the numbers we're talking about.
I mean, you get their contracts that are in place for CBS right? and the NFL, of course.
So why wouldn't you want that? I mean, we know that the NFL had great numbers this year.
Yeah.
That seems like a no-brainer to get.
But you just get CBS. I mean, CBS is the one that has the contract to air, you know, so that's what you get.
But that's, a lot of people watch the Masters, people watch March Madness, people watch the NFL. That's worth a lot to a Google. That's worth a lot to an Amazon. But we know that they can't do that because then the Justice Department will go after them.
Ever. It can't do
Not
it.
With this FTC.
Believe me, if Amazon could buy this stuff and was willing to, they'd all sell to them. I think Zaslav wouldn't be on the phone right away?
No, he
Please.
Would.
Yeah.
He would be. Just because we just mentioned it?
I don't know. Those guys still watch.
Hey, you know, the linear guys still watch, David.
It's a non-starter. It is a non-starter. Apple's not going to be able to buy Disney. Amazon's not going to be able to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. And Paramount, I mean, the buyer for the studio is Netflix. That one may, by the way, antitrust-wise, shouldn't be an issue, but they're not selling the studio, is everything I continue
TV.
To hear. You want to make a bid for the whole company, but nobody has. So that's where things stand.
Yeah. I like Traders. I'm watching Traders on Sunday with my kids.
Traders. Okay.
It's a not T-R-A-D-E. It's a T-R-A-I.
Oh, Traders. Yeah.
It's actually a great show, man.
Are we at that point in the show where we make our programming recommendations for people?
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. No, you're absolutely right. What I'm going to focus on is Chewy.
I've been watching The Gentleman on Netflix. I've been enjoying that.
My sister's watching that. Just told me to watch it.
Been fun.
I'll do that. Now, how about Chewy?
And also, Slow Horses on Apple. Great.
I watched it twice.
Yeah.
I watched it twice. I pretended to my wife that I watched it without her. I'm glad we hit that part.
Now you want to finish
and how about Chewy?
And talk
we
about
like dogs.
Yeah, hit some stocks that we haven't hit yet and tell me why.
Okay, so Chewy had good numbers, and then you start going through the conference call, and it turns out that, you know, the pet adoption is lower than people thought. And the growth there is going to be almost non-existent. David, pets are not in favor right now in this country. They went out of fashion on the Wall Street Fashion Show.
They did?
Yeah, pets know we have a no-growth industry, the pet business. Which is interesting because General Mills had good numbers, but it's not because of pet adoption. Pet adoption is run out as a theme. And the whole humanization of pets theory, I don't know. That also may have slowed.
Really? My dog's still sleeping in the bed.
Well, you got to show discipline. You got to show discipline. You got to kick him off the bed. That's what I do. Every night, I just kick Wolfie off.
What do you got on the big program from San Fran tonight?
Well, I got Palo Alto Net, which I think is important. We want to be sure whether cybersecurity is still as strong. There's a lot of people who feel it's not. And then, David, I have Medtronic talking about the revolutionary things that people are doing in AI and medical, which is not talked about nearly enough. And I don't know if you saw what Elon Musk is doing in neurostimulation. We're going to talk about neurostimulation with Jeff Martha from Medtronic. I think they're probably the company. GE Healthcare's endorsed it. J&J. These companies all understand AI, and they also understand it here and now. It can make money for them.
Yeah. And then you got your leaders program tonight as well.
Yes,
at 8
o'clock.
Such a fascinating conversation with Jensen Huang. So that's at 8 tonight.
David, he's smarter than all of us. But he's also nicer than all of us.
And soon his artificial intelligence will be smarter than all of us.
Well, that's you and I when we get back. You, me, and Mini David and Mini Jim will have a conversation. And we'll see who's more important, Mini us or us.
Got it. All right, Jim. I'll see
Congratulations
you
Congratulations to Nelson Peltz, huh?
Well, he hasn't won yet.
No, what are you going
to congratulate him about. Not yet. All right, there's Jim Cramer. I'm still here for another hour. We got a lot more coming for you on this busy Thursday morning. Keep it here.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.